Please enjoy this music video that takes us into our message today.
Maria.
The most beautiful sound I ever heard.
Maria. Maria.
Maria.
Maria.
All the beautiful sounds of the world in a single word.
Just met a girl named Maria, and suddenly that name will never be the same to me. Maria, I just kissed a girl named Maria, and suddenly I found how wonderful a sound can be. Maria, say it loud and there's music playing. It's soft and it's almost like praying. Maria, I'll never stop saying Maria. Maria, 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 Maria. And it's almost like praying. Maria, I'll never stop saying Maria. The most beautiful song I ever heard. Maria.
Hello, again. I want to tell you at the beginning that I had three possible really funny stories to share with you. And each and every one of those was ixnayed by the censor. And then I found a really cool musical video to share with you. And that too was ixnayed by the censor. So what you're getting today, you may not like, but I had to try to come up with something that tied in with the message. And so I'm going to start by giving reference to a very, very old hip hop song that was done by a lady by the name of Shirley Ellis many, many years ago. And a few weeks ago, I told you I was not going to make a habit of singing. Well, we got to do something, right? So let me just put two very short verses together that I did based on the song, The Name Game. And it goes like this. Michael, Michael, Bobico, Banana, Fana, Fofico, Fee, Fi, Fo, Michael, Michael. And here's another one. Susan, Susan, Bobusin, Banana, Fana, Fofusin, Fee, Fi, Momusin, Susan. Those are from The Name Game. What the heck? Let's do one more. Let's do Sammy. Sammy, Sammy, Bo, Bammy, Bammy, Banana, Fana, Fo, Femi, Fee, Fi, Mo, Mammy, Sammy. Okay, that's enough. Our topic today is Hallowed Be Thy Name. And I'm wondering if you ever took the time to look up the meaning of your name. My name, Michael, for example, means like unto God. What can I say? I mean, everybody wants to be like Mike, right? But I start with this today because we're going to look at the Lord's Prayer today in this talk, but pay special attention to that phrase, Hallowed be thy name. Lord's Prayer is prayed and revered throughout Christianity. It is, after all, the prayer presented to us by Jesus, or J-Cry, as we might call him today, when he was asked how we should pray. When what most of the world doesn't understand is that it was never intended to be a rote verbatim method of prayer. But we do pray it every Sunday, so it's worthwhile to stop, pause a little bit, and ask, what is it that we are really doing? What is it that we are really praying? Or how may we more fully embrace the mystical experience that the Lord's Prayer has to offer? But let's go back for just a minute to the whole name thing. Shakespeare, in his play Romeo and Juliet, begs the question, what's in a name? And he goes on to make a point. A rose by any other name would still smell as sweet. And that's certainly true, but at the same time, we give names to things that try to capture the essence of the person or the thing that we are naming. I'll give you 7 quick examples to show you what I mean. Dopey, bashful, sneezy, sleepy, happy, grumpy, and doc. When we get a new pet, a new cat or a dog, we take a look at them and then give them a name that we think is fitting for what we're seeing as the reality of that pet. And I know at least a couple of couples who had a name all picked out for their child when the child was born. And then when it actually happened, they looked at their child and they said, no, cannot do that. I had an older sister named Shirley. And when she was presented at church to be baptized, the priest asked, what name are you giving this child? And my mother said, Shirley. And the priest said, not in my church or not. Shirley's not a Christian name. And so on the spot, they came up with Josephine. My father's name was Joseph. But for the rest of her life, the whole world just called her Shirley, because that's who she was. We have pet names for people in our lives to convey to them our love and our affection, names such as Cutie Pie, Angel Wings, Buttercup, and Sweet Cheeks. You can take that last one wherever you want. And I once heard a Mexican mom call her young daughter Nibita, which is Spanish for my life. And I thought, what an incredibly beautiful way to address your child. We give one another nicknames based on prominent looks or characteristics. So we get names like Shorty or Lefty or Smiley. Sometimes they are unkind. Names such as Fridge, Rillo, Tubble, Tubby, or Baldy. Growing up in the neighborhood, we had a Crazy Leonard, because Crazy Leonard insisted on riding his bicycle full speed into the mailbox in front of Elsie's candy store. In the scriptures, many characters had their names changed, sometimes by God. Abram, meaning exalted father, became Abraham, meaning father of many nations. Sarai, meaning princess, went to Sarah, meaning my princess. Jacob had the meaning of one who replaces another. And he was renamed by God and became Israel, meaning leader of a nation. And of course, we have Simon. Simon means he has heard. And Jesus changed his name to Peter, meaning rock. There was a point to all of these changes. God wanted to install a new vision, a new role for the people who were renamed. And so the new names served as a call, a shift of awareness, a change in consciousness for those involved to awaken them that they had untapped talents, unrealized potentials, and that they had work that needed to be done, which perhaps previously had never occurred to them. And it is worth noting that in all of these cases, this new awareness wasn't exactly convenient. Abraham and Jacob were doing quite all right, frankly. They were successful. They had land. They had property. They had their own lives that was enriched with children and family. Well, Abraham's family came later. Simon Peter was a fisherman and probably not all that wealthy, but he would have had his own daily routine, which would then begin to shift dramatically as he became a fisher of men, as we're told in the scriptures. We all know the words to the Lord's Prayer, "Our Father who art in heaven." Jesus used the word Father or Abba as a reference for God because it symbolized a loving, caring, providing reality in all of our lives. It was a proclamation of a sacred relationship, an acknowledgement of a spiritual bloodline that we all share. It affirmed that presence and that closeness, that spiritual DNA and the bond that exists between us in whatever the true reality of God may be. Certainly, God's real name isn't Father, but it was a pretty decent nickname that characterizes a relationship with us that is so very loving and nurturing. The Lord's Prayer goes on. "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." This is not a petition by us. It's an affirmation. Jesus tells us in another passage, "The kingdom of God is within you." This part of the prayer reflects an understanding that we are evoking within ourselves a need to wake up to what already is. The kingdom of God is something that is alive in each and every one of us. It's alive in us, with us, and through us. "Give us this day our daily bread." Again, this is an affirmation. We live on an earth that is so plush. We are wallowing in the abundance of God. And yet it can be so hard to see it, to realize it, because we are all raised to concentrate on lack. We are programmed to worry about not having enough money, not having enough food. Look at the behavior that the pandemic triggered. Shopping carts overflowing with toilet paper and paper towels. At one point, stores had to place limits on how much meat you could buy on a given day. At the discussion group this past Thursday, I shared with the people there that how poor my family was when I was growing, and I'll spare you the details here. But I also shared that I had an incredibly wonderful childhood and never once felt like I was wanting for anything. Daniel Namib sings in one of his songs, "There is more than enough in a universe that God has created." Give us this day our daily bread. Pure and simple does nothing more than lay claim to our divine heritage. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. It's a personal thing, but I prefer the phrase actually, "forgive us our trespasses," because I think it makes for a stronger affirmation. When we trespass, we cross a line. Living in the kingdom means living in harmony. It means living in peace. It means living in alignment. When we live our lives or do things or think in ways that are not in alignment with God, with Spirit, really what we are doing is creating a spiritual deficit or a debt. We are crossing a line. We are trespassing as we bring things into the kingdom that are made of sense consciousness. 2 weeks ago, we spoke about the prodigal son who trespassed by bringing forth the values of the world to the kingdom. His realization that he needed to return home was his prayer, "Forgive us our debts or trespasses." And then there's a second half of that, "as we forgive those." Now, there's a temptation here to go to that mentality that what this means is an eye for an eye. But I don't think what this prayer reflects. "As we forgive those" is an affirmation that forgiveness really is an auto response on the part of anyone who is in alignment with God or Spirit. The concept of a quid pro quo is something that is really kind of foreign to the kingdom. In the kingdom, there is a knowing that at times, because of our fears, our hurts, our worries, we can sometimes make wrong decisions or fall back to old, worn-out beliefs that really no longer serve us. In the kingdom, there is an awareness that no one is lacking or less than anyone else, and yes, that means no one. "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." There is no such thing as "the devil made me do it." Well, at least not unless you want to give occupancy to some fictional character in your own mind. This phrase is an affirmation, a covenant even, that manifests a commitment on our part to embrace and hold an awareness of the presence of God in everything. It is even more significant than the most solemn wedding vow that promises fidelity. It reflects an awareness, a consciousness that it is all God, and therefore it is all good, all the time, because Spirit constantly works to deliver us from anything, graces us, to move us away from any thought that it is not God. It's tempting to think otherwise. When somebody is unkind to us, when somebody belittles us, puts us down, when somebody sends us a message that we are lacking, when somebody tells us or even indirectly hints that we are not lovable. "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil," says, you know what? I'm not going to go there. I will not allow anybody to deter me and determine for me a false reality. And we come to the end of the Lord's Prayer. "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever." There is but one source, one power active in the world, active in the universe and in our lives. The power of the kingdom never fades away. The power of the kingdom never loses strength. It never goes away. The glory of living in the kingdom never grows old. Is shelter in place making you a little nuts, a little crazy now that we're 3.5 months into it? When you pray these words from the Lord's Prayer, absorb it, drink it. You are saturated in the kingdom. The power of the kingdom, the glory of the kingdom, dwells in your own heart. And again, the words of Daniel Naamed remind us, it's the power of the love in me and in you. Everything the Father is and has is ours at any time we decide that we want it. In unity, we behold the Christ within. It would not be blasphemy to pray, for ours is the kingdom and the power and the glory. We would simply be reaffirming the words of our way-shower Jesus. Throughout history, humankind has come up with many gods of many different names. In the Hebrew scriptures, there are several. The main ones are Elohim, Adonai, El Shaddai, Jehovah, and Yahweh. Each of these names was coined to focus on a slightly different characteristic, a slightly different attribute of something that exceeded understanding. Each of them looks at God from a slightly different angle. None of them comes even close to capturing the full essence of whatever God or the ground of all being is. As the Tao philosophy tells us, the way that names the way is not the way. We refer to God in many ways: Father, Spirit, Divine Mind, Love, Divine Light, Life, and, well, God. But none of these is God's name. Just like Michael cannot fully capture the vastness of me, not because I'm, you know, just so incredibly wonderful, but actually I am, but it's to capture the vastness of me because of the Christ light that dwells within me. No reference truly names that presence that we call God. And yet, when we pray the Lord's Prayer, we say the words, "Hallowed be thy name." To hallow something is to make it holy or sacred, to sanctify it or consecrate it in some way. We understand, for example, when we say that the soldiers who died in the Civil War hallowed the ground of the battlefield at Gettysburg by the blood that they shed. To hallow something is to give yourself over to it completely. No holding back. In case you're wondering about the opening video that I showed going into the talk, I opened with the music video from West Side Story. It was the best I could offer to provide some picture of what it was like to hallow the name of someone or something. Tony's reference for the transformation in his life was Maria. What we saw was in that video was a depiction, not of the name Maria, but of the essence of a woman that caused him to become drunk with life, a reality that made sense of everything that he was and everything that he was about and everything that he was doing with every single breath that he would be taking. And that name was Maria. What made it most the beautiful sound that he ever heard is that it represented a complete fulfillment of life to him. In Maria, it just made sense. The reality that bore the name Maria elevated Tony to a whole new consciousness of a world that was based in love. Maria's name could have been Mary or Jennifer or Elizabeth or Joanne or Penelope. Okay, maybe not Penelope. There was a theologian and a Unitarian minister by the name of Frank Forest Church. And he wrote several theological books. And in one of them, he wrote, God is not God's name. God is our name for that which is greater than all and yet present in each. We cannot hallow God's name simply with words. If God is the be-all and the end-all of everything, if God is the source of all life, the only way that I could truly hallow God, the only way that I could truly worship God, is by living life as fully as I possibly can, by being the best Christ that I can be. By embracing the fullness of life, I manifest the reality of God that is the source of all life. And despite our insecurities, our fears, our worries at times, if we do this in this, there never, ever, ever can be failure. There can only be peace and love and joy. Hallowed be thy name. Let's take this into prayer and meditation.